Kane got moved from Mexico to L.A. L.A. is in Colorado. Kansas City is still in Kansas City. Some Chiefs players went and saw some wrestling action. Right now, it's time for Here's Beak.
What's up, Dust Man?
What's up, man?
Dusty O'Likens III. No shocker that they moved this game from Mexico City. I've seen goat ranches better than that stadium they were going to play at in Mexico City.
I've seen chicken coops better than that field.
My yard actually looks better than that.
Outside in Kansas City looks better than that.
I mean, they were going to play an NFL game there. What?
They were.
It was the NFL coming to Mexico City. They had concerts. Which singer screwed this up? Which singer screwed it up? That's I was worried about, like,
Shakira.
Taylor Swift. Was it Shakira?
She was it one? Taylor Swift? Give her a pass for one.
Oh, Taylor Swift did Arrowhead Stadium. She had a concert there. That's why they played in L.A. in week one, because of Taylor Swift. I'm just glad she wasn't involved in this as well.
Nope, she gets a pass, man. You gotta leave Taylor on her own here.
It was bad, and it was getting worse. And there was players on the Rams and Chiefs. I'm sure you heard the news, Dust Man, where they said that they weren't going to go play. So what was going to happen? What was going to happen if you had stars on your team that say, I'm not going to play? It would have put them in a terrible position. And I understand why the NFLPA got involved. The NFL is all about safety, safety, safety. At least that's what they say. With concussion protocol, making sure the players are safe. And then to have two of your marquee teams in the National Football League, two of the top three scoring teams in the National Football League, in a league that is desperate for scoring. Well, that's the big news today. 610sports.com for all your details. And I would like to hear from you tonight. If you've bought tickets to Mexico City, what are your plans now? It looks like people that had tickets can get the same seat in L.A. if that's the thing. This was supposed to be a Los Angeles Rams home game. It's how these things work. It was going to be a Chiefs road game anyway, whether they play in Mexico City or whether they play in L.A. It's a little bit different because they don't have to go play in the altitude now in Mexico City. I'm sure deep down they're appreciative of that. The Rams were in Colorado Springs this week. They're already there. They flew to Colorado Springs because what they wanted to do is practice an altitude in the Rocky Mountains to prepare them for playing in Mexico City. This game meant a lot. This game meant a lot to the Rams. It meant a lot to the Chiefs. Matter of fact, both the Rams and the Chiefs asked the NFL scheduling office before the season even began if they could play in Denver the week before, if you could schedule Denver before they went to Mexico City. But it was bad, and it was getting really bad this morning. Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network, tweeted out, Rams season ticket holders have until 5 p.m. Thursday to purchase their usual seats for next Monday's game at the Coliseum. Now, there are reports out there that the Rams will be giving free tickets away to all the first responders with those California fires that they've been dealing with, which is a really bad deal out in California. As a matter of fact, if you watch Monday Night Football with San Francisco 49ers, there was people wearing like mask, you know, remember when SARS scare was out there and everybody's wearing these kind of surgical masks? Well, a lot of people were doing that in San Francisco because the air quality just wasn't good. That smoke and stuff was filtering its way all the way to San Francisco. So that's good that the Rams are going to be doing that. From Lindsay Theory that covers the LA Rams for ESPN, she tweeted this out earlier. The Rams will be providing thousands of complimentary tickets to Monday night's game, now at the Coliseum, to first responders and those affected by the community's recent tragedies. And that's good news. That's good news that the Rams are doing that. I'm glad this game was moved back to L.A., make the decision quickly. Although what took them so long, I mean, it's now Tuesday. If you have a Monday night football game, now they did inspect it. Wouldn't Channel 9 even down there? I mean, they were down there because the Chiefs were going to be in Mexico City. You know, weren't they down there covering this? And we saw the field conditions. It was terrible. It reminded me of 2016 when they couldn't, the preseason game. The Packers were down there. It was a preseason Hall of Fame game, and they couldn't play it. You might remember that situation. Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints at that point, was taking the old turf from the from the Superdome in New Orleans and had donated it to Canton. And they were supposed to have this field ready, and they couldn't even have the field ready. I mean, you have all this time to do things and prepare them, and they don't do them. And I don't understand that. The NFL is such a big league, such a big entity. It prints money, and they couldn't get it right, so you couldn't play a Hall of Fame game. I mean, they were sitting there painting the turf that day. Remember, the turf was sticking to people's cleats. It was just an unsafe environment. And remember, when you play in the Hall of Fame game, preseason, you have five preseason games. They had five preseason games. So the NFL, at this point, it's good that they went ahead and moved it. Anytime you have players say, hey, I'm not going to play in this, can you imagine several of your meal tickets for the National Football League this year getting hurt? You think the NFL wanted that? Think the NFL wanted it? If Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL or Jared Goff or Todd Gurley, talking about MVP candidates in the National Football League, this will be the most watched game. It's actually a good game on Monday Night Football, unlike that turd they showed last night. This is actually a good draw. They remember Monday Night Football can't flex games, so this is like a marquee game. I'm sure they're absolutely delighted to have the Rams versus Chiefs, the two of the three highest-scoring teams in the NFL, the Saints now, have moved up to the top of that. But they're exciting teams, and Patrick Mahomes moves the needle in the National Football League. Everybody wants to see Patrick Mahomes. Not only that, the fantasy football implications in this game. Can you imagine everybody waiting until Monday to have your fantasy football game of the week decided from what's going on in that game? Plenty more talk about that. I'm curious about this turf. I'm curious about turf mixed with grass and how this whole thing works out. So I've got my turf consultant, who's one of the best in the business. He'll join me in about 15 minutes just to explain to me how they couldn't get this field right. How just putting new sod wouldn't have helped it. I mean, they had all year to plan for this. You know, these international games that we play, three London games this year. They've got four games scheduled for London next year. It is a travel problem for the fans and people to go out there and the players. It's a long flight going out to London. And why they move these games all around to internationally, I understand the NFL wants to stamp its brand internationally. They want to go to where the fans are and not here. But the other thing about it is there's a lot of people that work at the stadium. There's a lot of people that count on that, you know, as part of their income. And not only that, the season ticket holders. Remember when the Chiefs went and played in London? They lost the home game because of that, because of going over. There's only eight regular season games at home, and you lose one. I came up with an idea months ago. Put it on 610sports.com. I'm going to do it like the NHL. The NHL, every year, on New Year's Day, they have the stadium series where they go and play outdoors. It's a regular season NHL game, and they'll move it around. I think they were at the Naval Academy last year. They've been in Fenway having these things. They've been in the Big House in Michigan, largest attended NHL game ever because they play to where the University of Michigan does. There's some huge places to play in college football that dwarf NFL stadiums. I always thought, you know what? Keep it here. Regionalize it. You know, take advantage of the outside areas. Call it a college stadium tour. You know, don't have to move the games internationally. Do them right here in the United States. If you really wanted to increase your brand, increase your product, I think there's room to do that right here in the United States. Think about the Deep South. It's all about college football and NASCAR. You're telling me an Atlanta Falcons game, regional game, played in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in Bryant Denny Stadium, over 100,000 people, that wouldn't help the brand. You're telling me if the Chiefs and Cowboys didn't square up in Norman, Oklahoma, that wouldn't be fun. Or the Seattle Seahawks playing at Autzen Stadium. Or heck, Dusty, they can go and play that blue turf in Boise.
Watch out for birds.
I just never understood this draw. We have to take games, our pastime, United States, and play them elsewhere. You know, keep the dollars here. Keep the dollars in college towns and college communities. You know, help them out. I digress. They were going to do it in Mexico City. They couldn't handle it. So the game's moving to L.A. Even Matt Hasselbeck, NFL Live this morning on Mexico City, he said this. This is what people were saying nationally about this game. To me, this is an absolute joke. You mentioned peewee football. I coached peewee football. We played on a better surface. High school games around the country are played on a better surface. This is pro football. I concur. I go to high school football games almost every week. the turf is better. Of course, most of it's artificial surface when you play in the Kansas City. And he says, we're talking about two of the best teams, two MVP candidates playing this game on a bad field. I understand the NFL's trying to grow the game and play in a different venue in front of different audiences. Do something where you take care of the stadium, whatever it costs, to be able to shut that stadium entire week or two before you play so the surface can be okay. And he's right. He says, honestly, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment at this point. We're talking about Jared Goff and Pat Mahomes and Todd Gurley. We're talking about the grass being a mess at some stadium in Mexico City. I agree 100%. This was Adam Schefter on Twitter from ESPN, just kind of about the latest details on this game.
You have rain in recent weeks. You had a number of concerts and soccer games, events that took place at Estadio Azteca. And what happened was the teams had their own people go in to examine the stadium a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't overly concerned about the playing condition. But when they went back this week and saw the condition of the playing surface, they were tremendously alarmed to the point where teams did not want to have to play a game on that surface, and players were truly thinking of not playing if the NFL went ahead and carried out this game on Monday night. Now, again, I think this really picked up a lot of steam over the last 24 hours. The NFL was determined to try to get this game in, but the longer it went on and the more players and organizations' eyes were open to what was going on in that field, the more the NFL recognized that it couldn't play this game there on Monday night, and so it moved it back to Los Angeles for this upcoming Monday night.
Did the right thing. Did the right thing. You know how much Mahomes means to this league? You know how much it means to have offense and points? It's why all the rules are geared towards the offense, because it's all about the offense scoring. More on this as we continue throughout the show. A few other notes. I found this interesting. Kellis Robinette, that covers K-State, he says, and I'll talk K-State tomorrow with John Kurtz out in Manhattan. He says, seems strange that K-State isn't making a single player available to the media this week. Wildcats are coming off a win. Next opponent is Texas Tech. First time I can recall Bill Snyder not letting anybody talk. Weird. I find that weird. In other news and notes, Le'Veon Bell had until today to show up. He didn't. So he forfeits $14 million. More on this tonight, because I think it's absolutely insane what Le'Veon Bell's doing, because you got to recoup that money. You better sign a hell of a contract next year, because you're $14 million in the hole. So you better get with it on that. Major League Baseball, NL Rookie of the Year, Acuna Jr., AL Rookie of the Year, Otani. Andujar, Gleyber Torres, and Joey Wendell were the top four. Believe it or not, Brad Keller didn't get a single vote. Only four American League rookie pitchers since 1990 have pitched more than 125 innings with an ERA plus better than 140 and a WAR above 3. That's what Keller did. His ERA plus was 139, close to 140. Colin McHugh, Tim Hudson, Orlando Hernandez, and Juan Guzman, all four finished in the top five. Fulmer had a 139 ERA plus in 2016. He won Rookie of the Year. Keller, 139 ERA plus, 3.08 ERA in 140 innings. Jack Flaherty got votes in the National League. He had a 116 ERA plus, which Brad Keller's was much better, and a 334 ERA. He finished fifth. I'll talk to Jeff Flanagan, MLB.com, on some Royals moving and shaking, because they are doing a few things here and there, find out what they're going to spend in the offseason. But the Kansas City Chiefs will get plenty to this. I think they found their identity. I think there's something sleeping about this defense. There's some numbers that I think will blow you away. We'll definitely get into that. But coming up next, we talk turf with Jason Clarkson.
Being at night.
Man, I got to weigh in on this. I wrote this down to weigh in on it. Yahoo Sports has tweeted out, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? I've got some thoughts on that. How ridiculous of a question is that? But first, I'm going to talk turf with my guy, Jason Clarkson, who took my yard that basically looked worse than Studio or Stadia Azteca and made it look good, because he works for Heritage Lawn and Irrigation. What's up, Jason?
What's going on, Binkley? How's everything going tonight?
Well, it's going good, and I wanted you to come on the show because of this whole turf thing, because you, let me put it this way. We all have hobbies and things that we like and are interesting. You know, I happen to like football and beers and stuff like this. You, my friend, like grass. And I don't mean like to smoke it. I mean like to take care of it.
I sure do. I'm probably one of the biggest turf nerds you'll ever meet.
I know you are. I know you are. Because you always hit me up on the Royals, it's raining, and you talk about how good that field looks. Explain this to me. Explain to me how a blended grass that is blended with artificial surface, first of all, how does that grow? And two, how does it look like the horse track that it became?
So what basically happened is the fibers are actually put in the ground through a machine, and they're actually sewed in there, and they're like 3/4 of an inch. And these fibers are just in there to hold stability of the actual turf of your seed. And then once you grow everything in, a good example is Lambeau Field. It is actually a mix of bluegrass and cool season turf mixed in with the artificial fibers. And the biggest reason they use these artificial fibers is so they can have 100% sand base. When you have 100% sand base, you can actually have water flowing all the way through in proper drainage, and you have better control of the actual surface. But what happened in Mexico City is they couldn't get that seed established properly, and with all the rains, that is where things, I believe, failed. I mean, the biggest thing is they should have been more prepared.
Well, the Chiefs stadium starts looking pretty rough, too. Like around this time of year, I don't, you know, when they get in December, they'll sit there and paint the thing. Is this something that the Chiefs should do? I've always wondered, and the reason I ask it is because they don't play the state title games here in football in high school. They played them for that forever in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. They now play them in Columbia. They like to play on artificial surface so it doesn't tear it up. But I will say this, the Pennsylvania state title games in football in that state is played on a grass surface at Heinz Field. And everything is just fine with all those football games being played on. Is this something, if done right, the Chiefs should look into do with all those events they have at Arrowhead?
Yes. I mean, I think eventually this is actually going to be the newer and smarter way to go. It's just it has not been over to the United States for very long. Lambeau Field is the only field in the United States that actually has these artificial fibers. And once they get a good pack on how to hold and maintain this turf, I think eventually everybody's going to start using this turf, especially in the climates that we live in. We live in the transition zone where we can grow cool season and warm season turf, where Arrowhead Stadium is all Bermuda grass. That is a warm season turf, but it's overseeded with ryegrass to keep that color. But there's coils underneath the field, too, so they can control the temperature. And that is how you can actually keep the soil temp where you actually need it for perfect growing conditions for warm season turf.
Can you cool it, too?
Yep, you can absolutely cool it as well.
Wow. You would think they'd be used a lot more in Major League Baseball, would you?
You're absolutely right. But I would say in Major League Baseball, it's probably a little more expensive. But depending on the amount of money that Major League Baseball spends, it wouldn't surprise me if they started using coiling systems underneath their stadiums as well. But these coiling systems are unbelievable. They're super expensive, but they will pay off in the long run.
So this is more expensive than, because I remember when, you know, it was AstroTurf and they all tore it up because it was, you know, tearing people's knees up and stuff. And I remember Kansas City, like high school, I think Rockhurst might have had the first like artificial surface. You know, it's with the rubber chips in it, all those fields. And now you look around, there's hardly any teams, Jason, you know, playing high school football in this town on actual natural grass. So I was just wondering, is this the new trend? Is it, but you said it's expensive. So this is more expensive than a field turf and things like that. That's why teams don't do it.
Yep. That's why a lot of teams don't do it, because this is really expensive to blend in the artificial turf with your existing turf. And one of the biggest reasons a lot of people don't do it is because they don't want 100% sand base. Where if you have 100% sand base, you can actually control the water going through. Your infiltration is so much better when you have 100% sand base. So if you're in an area just like Mexico City where you're dealing with a lot of rain, you want that 100% sand base. So water is going to go right through it.
Wow. Interesting stuff. It's my guy on Twitter, at Lawn Coach. His name is Jason Clarkson. He'll tell you everything you need to know about grass, and it'll actually turn your grass green because he's did it to my house. And if he could do it at my house, he can do anything because that was worse than that Mexico City field, Jason. I'm sure you can verify that. So I appreciate it, man.
Well, I greatly appreciate your time. And if anyone ever needs any help, they can always get on our website, heritagelawnskc.com.
I recommend it. Let's get this field turf. I want to heat and cool stadiums. I think that'd be perfect for the players. I mean, it's 2018. Let's get off the ball, man. Let's not have these things. We're canceling a game in 2018 because the turf is just so embarrassing.
Absolutely, man. I 100% agree. I greatly appreciate your time.
All right, Jason. You take care, my friend. Stay in touch. We'll talk to you later.
There you go. All
right. Talking turf. I mean, we talk turf. There's a lot about turf I don't know. I don't understand. But it seems to me, if Lambeau has this, and just the idea that you can heat and cool the surface, it's perfect. I have no idea. I mean, that is a real privilege for an NFL game to be played in Mexico City. I mean, the NFL should have been down there holding their hand to get this thing right. It's their marquee game. We're sitting there on Tuesday, and they can't decide what to do with the game or not. The Rams are in Colorado Springs for nothing now. They have to travel back to L.A. Not a huge flight or anything, and they have the money to go do it. But and the Chiefs, it doesn't bother them at all. They weren't even going to go to Mexico City yet. So they just get that charter jet. Instead of the charter jet heading to Mexico City, they'll just go straight to L.A. And you know what the good news about that, Dustman, is? Because I know it by covering the Royals. Some people will forget their passports from time to time. There's been emergency situations where MLB teams will send players to Minneapolis because I think it's one of the few passport stations in the country that can offer the passports that day. And I know the Royals always have this big billboard whenever they're getting ready to go to Toronto. It says it all over the clubhouse. Don't forget your passport. Don't have to worry about it now. 7:30 each Tuesday, we talk to Matt Lane, Arrowhead Pride. Stay in your lane. We break down the Chiefs next.
Big at night. Think you know Andy Reid and the Chiefs offense?
You bet your sweet ass.
Stay in your lane. It's the Offensive Outlook with Arrowhead Pride's Matt Lane.
Matt Lane, Arrowhead Pride. You hear him every Tuesday at 7:30. Does great work. You can also hear him on the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show as well, presented by Albright Buick GMC Cadillac. He does great things on Twitter, at Chief in Carolina, if you want to see some breakdowns from him.
Nerd. Matt,
no, it's not a nerd. He has a show called Nerd Squad. It's got Craig Stout, who's also a guest, and Kent Swanson. Sorry about that, Matt. Sorry about that. That's not me pushing those buttons. How are you?
I'm doing good, JB. How are you doing?
You glad this game has finally found a home in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's a good move by the NFL to go ahead and move that game out of whatever was going on down there.
Weren't you kind of frustrated like me? I mean, I've been so looking forward to this game. In this whole, you know, refreshing information on Twitter, trying to find out what's going on. Now, then all of a sudden you find out that maybe some players aren't going to play. And I was sitting here going, we got 2-9-1 teams. We got 3 MVP candidates. And now we're talking about some guys not playing. Do the right thing. Play it in L.A. Play it in Boise. Play it in San Antonio. Just play the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I was with you. I was kind of getting tired of hearing about what may happen, what may not happen. And the whole fact that they did end up moving it was great. I didn't think the NFL was going to do it, based on what was coming, everything that was coming out, and all the pictures and videos and trying to fix the field. But once they finally did, I thought it was good. And the best part is I think that they seems like they listened to the players as they kind of started going to the NFLPA and threatening not to play. I mean, that's a good step if the NFL's finally listening to their players a little bit.
Yeah, don't they kind of have to? I mean, you have all these safety concerns. You know, you move the extra point back. You don't want they're, you know, they're talking about taking away kickoffs and everything else because of the high rate of speeds for collisions. If you're going to do all those things, it seems like it would be no-brainer not to have your players playing on bad turf, just like that embarrassment that happened in 2016 for the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, and on one hand, you would think so, that would make the most sense, but the NFL's kind of showed a history of going for whatever they think is going to bring them in the most money or the most views. Not that it's a bad thing, it's just kind of how businesses run. So I was kind of surprised to see it move, just changing up all the travel plans and everything that would go into that huge production of 2-9-1 teams facing off down in Mexico City. But at the way it was looking, it must have been really bad, even worse than it looked, in just pictures or videos for them to finally go through with it.
Well, I'm excited to see this game, Matt, because I want to see good competition for the Chiefs. I mean, we don't have that many good games with good matchups. The Chargers game, I think it's going to be a quality game. I'd put that number two behind this one against the Rams. But I want to see them tested because they've looked good so far. I mean, the last 4 weeks, they're just giving up 17 points a game. I think that's fourth in the NFL. We saw 29 quarterback pressures, saw 13 quarterback hits, and we saw 5 sacks. And Chris Jones is on one of the biggest tears I've seen from an interior defensive lineman in the longest time. Want to see them do this against the Rams and not the Cardinals.
Right, and that's the big thing. The Chiefs' defense, as of late, has been playing a little bit better, and it's come at the same time as their schedule kind of tilted off from what it was at the beginning of the year, so it's hard to kind of put the chicken or the egg first. But the good news is, no matter how you're looking at it, the Chiefs' defense is finally starting to come together a little bit. You get Justin Houston back. We're still waiting on hopefully getting Eric Berry sometime before the playoffs starts. All we're kind of hoping for at this point in time. Houston looks good. Chris Jones is playing as good as any defensive lineman besides maybe Aaron Donald in the NFL right now. And even that's got to be pretty close to the way he's been these last, what, 5-6 weeks now. D Ford still looks like the best player in the front for the Chiefs. So, I mean, that's just something good right there. And you want to see them do it against a great offensive line like the Rams rather than just whatever the Cardinals were putting out there.
Well, 7 sacks for Chris Jones in the last 6 games. And, you know, he's shown these flashes. He showed these flashes last year. But this, to me, Matt, he's turning that corner consistency. You know, he's been always that guy that can have that big game. But when you do it this many straight games with the 7 sacks in 6 games, to me that means you're kind of crossing a threshold of being just a guy that can be good to a guy that's just really good.
Right, and he was one of the guys, I didn't quite get to it this offseason, but I had talked about this is going to be one of the guys that's going to make a big step forward this season for the Chiefs, and that sounds kind of crazy because I think most people already considered him good, but I think we've seen it. Like you said, he's gone from just this good player flashing to he's consistently great. And I was writing about it a little bit this week as I wrote and broke down the interior defensive line. Chris Jones came into the season a little bit lighter, maybe a little bit leaner, and just that extra little flexibility and athleticism just paid off a huge bit for him against the pass.
How important is he to this team? Because he's got to turn that corner about as far as needing money, and I think there's just certain positions that you can't just go plug and place like I do think you can with the running back position. And I know the Chiefs can always use the franchise tag or anything else. Is Chris Jones finally with that arrow going straight up that this guy might be a guy that you invest in the future with?
I definitely think it's a possibility. It's hard with all the contracts the Chiefs are going to have coming up. Somebody's
sure
not going to stay around, but I'm not sure if Chris Jones would be my choice to be the guy they let go. The one question I have with him, and I do think he's kind of turned a corner a little bit here, is his general like maturity level. Not that he's a bad person or does anything wrong, but he definitely is a guy that loves to have fun. He seems to really enjoy life. And even going back to Mississippi State, there was always some questions about how well he stayed in shape and how motivated he was on any given play. And I think you kind of got a whiff of that coming into this year, just how he talked about how he's 15 pounds lighter, he's in the best shape ever, he actually was able to complete their conditioning test this offseason. So as long as you can keep seeing that level of motivation, no problem paying them. But I do think you want to string it out and see that more than for just this year.
We're talking to Matt Lane at Chief in Carolina from ArrowheadPride.com. And Matt, It's football is a weird thing. You start the season so good, and then you tail off, and it's bad. And I remember, you know, talking to Ryan Liljo. He comes on this station, and you know, just a certain point in the season, you realize who and what you are. And if you're not to that point yet, you better become who and what you are. And I know the Chiefs defense started off rough, but I'm sitting here looking at it is, and I do think we have to tangibly look at it. They're just getting better. And not only that, but when you lead, they're tied for the NFL lead in sacks. To me, it's hard to say bad defense. And I know they've certainly given up the yards, but the schedule's much different. I mean, the Chiefs could finish much different. I mean, they're, what, 16th in points per game, and that's really the only thing that matters in the NFL. How many points do you give up? And I get it, they're going to bend but don't break. They have an offense that scores so quickly. They're always going to be on the field. I get that. That is a disadvantage for the defense. Did you ever sit here, as we sat here at the beginning of the season, I know we worried about, can the Chiefs get to the quarterback? I know I was concerned about that. But sitting here right now on November 13th, I don't know about you, I am shocked, and it's a good thing that the Chiefs lead the NFL in sacks.
Yeah, and I definitely expected Chris Jones to have a better year than the years past. It was hard for me to predict what we're going to get out of Justin Houston, but I think you're seeing when he's healthy, he's still very opportunistic. He's not quite the force that he once was, but he's very opportunistic. But thankfully for the Chiefs, they got Mike Smith in there for the outside linebackers coach, and he's just got D Ford rolling. D Ford's practically unblockable except for against top-tier offensive tackles right now. So, I mean, the ability to pressure the quarterback, we kind of talked about turnovers. The Chiefs are, I'm pretty sure, top 10 in the league. They're still top 10 in third down conversion stop percentage. So the defense may surrender yards, and it looked bad to start the year, but they're starting to come together, and these kind of important opportunistic stats that really matter down the stretch, they are actually faring very well in.
Is the defense that actually have someone hope for? We get to the postseason. I mean, I dare a team to just play a track meet with the Chiefs because they will outscore you. But the Chiefs, if they get down in one of these games that are drawn down, the Titans, the Steelers, and they muddy it down and water it down, can we force the stops? It's not. I've never said you have to have a top 10 defense. Just be top half. I mean, just strive for top half. But let's flip it over to the offensive side, Matt. Sammy Watkins. This is basically the second game he hasn't played. People are drawing correlations. Sammy Watkins makes this offense tick. I don't agree with that because I think Pat Mahomes makes this offense tick. And I think Pat Mahomes could take an average player and make him great, just like he did Albert Wilson in that game in Denver last year and got Albert Wilson played. Albert Wilson looked like an elite receiver in that game. Anything to Sammy Watkins, or is there that much of a drop-off by Chris Conley trying to step up and be that guy, or DeMarcus Robinson adding up, or does this team desperately need Sammy Watkins, who is on quite of a roll as of late when he's healthy?
I think both things are a little bit true. The offense definitely runs through Pat Mahomes. And even if you're going to create a list of guys that are important to the offense, Sammy Watkins is definitely not first, second, or third, not even probably fourth. But coming up next, he's there, and that's way down the list. But what Sammy Watkins does for the team is it gives another option that can win a one-on-one matchup. I think we've seen it both times now that he's had to leave the game early. Chris Conley, DeMarcus Robinson, they're just not guys that when they're left one-on-one with even just average NFL players across them are going to win with any consistency. I was going back through and just watching the game, and at the point of time where Pat either had to throw the ball, did throw the ball, or got sacked, there's only a handful of plays where Conley or Robinson are getting any amount of separation that would be worthy of throwing the pass to them. Compare that to somebody like Sammy Watkins, who maybe isn't Tyreek Hill in terms of getting open, but you're doing a lot more than 3-4 plays where he's beating man-to-man coverage or this kind of tight pattern match zone. So from that aspect, he plays a huge part. And I think the coaching staff realized that too when they went out and spent for him. They weren't paying for him to come in and be the number one option, despite what the money says. They were coming in to give that next option that can help stretch the field, that takes a little bit of attention away from everybody else. And the two games he hasn't been there, you've seen it. We just kind of fall out after the scripted plays to start the game without him.
I almost kind of looked at that contract, Matt, is the fact that that was just the price of doing business. And I know that Sammy Watkins' contract was high, but that was kind of the going rate for wide receivers in this offensive purge. Just like Dante Moncrief getting all the money he could. Guys were just overpaid this year. I mean, that was a sad reality. Receivers are getting paid. Running backs aren't. He was just caught up in that mix.
Right, and that's exactly it. And when you're comparing these wide receivers down to not necessarily their production, but the ability of what they can do on the field, and maybe a consistency issue with him, or it could just be opportunities. It's really hard to ever separate those two based on his locations and the situations he's been in. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find a wide receiver that has a better set of skills or abilities than Sammy Watkins. So overpaying him, if that's what you want to call it, to get to help free up Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and just get that extra guy that can win that one-on-one matchup against the number two or number three corner makes a huge difference. Like I said, we're just not seeing that out of Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson right now, and it's starting to show up when we have to get out of those plays that Andy's calling to start the game when he has to adjust on the fly. They're having a little bit of trouble moving the ball when teams start to refocus on Hill and Kelce.
Who's kind of impressed you the most as of late? Because I'll be honest with you, I am shocked and blown away how Austin Ryder's playing.
Austin Ryder's been good. This was definitely the worst game for kind of the backup interior offensive line guys. They had a few miscommunications, but it's not unexpected versus a team coming off a bye that worked in some blitzes and some stunts and twists. The two guys that have caught my eye actually the last 2 weeks has been Derek Nnadi, and then I think we're starting to see a little bit of last year's late season Reggie Ragland now. He's kind of gone from making that one splashy play a game to he's getting into the backfield or blowing up a block at the line of scrimmage 3-4 times a game. And as long as you're not asking him to run with David Johnson on a wheel route, he's not terrible in coverage anymore. He's just not good. But he's starting to look a little more comfortable, a little bit more, dare I say, healthy and a little quicker. And then Derek Nnadi is just, he's really starting to figure out what he can do at this level, given his kind of athletic stature, that short little leverage that he has. And he was tossing around Arizona offensive linemen left and right. Even while being double-teamed, he had thrown their poor center to the ground twice while they had another guard trying to block him at the same time.
Yeah, and he admitted when he was drafted, he came here, he said there were certain things of his game he had to work on. This Pete Sweeney and I were talking about this earlier. He was in here getting ready for Arrowhead Pride Radio. But the passer rating and coverage, Steven Nelson's number two behind Minka Fitzpatrick. Never thought I'd see that. Never thought I'd see Steven Nelson being that good.
That was surprising. I'm a little bit of a Nelson fan. I always had been. Mm-hmm. But I'd kind of been waiting for him to turn the corner, and I thought he kind of got a raw deal last year coming off the abdomen injury. And this year, even, I thought he started a little slow, especially when he's pressed vertically. But, again, same thing. These last couple weeks, he started to turn it on, too. And we've seen this year he started to play the ball a little bit in the air. So that's always a huge bonus.
Matt, always good talking football to you. What do you have coming out this week on Arrowhead Pride?
I alluded to it a little bit. Either it should be tomorrow morning. We have interior defensive line breakdowns. So that's Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Xavier Williams, and Alan Bailey. And just kind of going through what they're doing really well, what they're still improving on, and then kind of what they're lacking right now. But it looked like a good time to do it, coming off a game where they all looked pretty good right before they probably have their biggest test of the year with that Rams defensive line. And then later in this week, we're going to have the advanced scouting preview where we break down the Rams defense and what the Chiefs can do to score 50 on them.
Well, Matt, I can't wait to talk to you next week because it'll be kind of fun because it'll be the night after the Rams game. So it'll be fun to kind of talk to you when it's so close within 24 hours of that game. Looking forward to that conversation next week. Matt Lane at Chief in Carolina on Twitter or arrowheadpride.com. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Jimmy. You guys have a good one.
There you go, Matt Lane right there. Plenty of Chiefs talk still to come, but coming up next, the college football playoff rankings are out. And guess what? I don't think they changed a whole lot. I'll explain what's going on with it next.
Being at night.
Well, we've talked turf with Jason Clarkson. We talked Chiefs with Matt Lane.
Nerd.
Actually got some Royals news. What's going on with them? With the guy that's been all over, including out in Arizona for the Fall League. Jeff Flanagan, 815, my good friend Flanagan. But Chiefs talk for the rest of time. I do want to hear from you if you bought tickets to Mexico City. Maybe you're planning your vacation. Said, let's go see the Chiefs. I know people that do that. I work in the building here where people, not even involved in sports radio, they went to London a few years ago. They went to go to see the Chiefs in London. I'll never forget. I know where I was during that game. I was in New York City. Chiefs or Royals Mets. World Series. Looking for that. No text line. I'm not drunk. A lot of you asking that. I actually haven't even had a beer, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I would tell you if I'm drunk. I mean, yeah, we drink beer on that Friday Two Guys in a Brewery segment I have in here. But if I sound drunk, I apologize. It's don't mean to. Just one of those days where you just don't enunciate very well. For also someone on the text line asking me, would you go rather go on a first date with a handful of laxatives or play football and take a handful of laxatives? Probably the first date, because you can just kind of make an excuse and go to the bathroom. But, man, when you're on that football field and you got to go, there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than that. Not exactly like there's bathrooms ready to go. Now they get that little tent you can go into if you have to. And the locker room's pretty close. But, man, you're playing high school football or college football, you don't get that luxury. Speaking of college football, the rankings are out again tonight. No changes in the top 10. And you wouldn't really expect that. Expect it to be kind of quiet, although I think there's going to be some moving and shaking. Clemson, they still have to play a red-hot Syracuse team. Yes, I said Syracuse with Dino Babers. Alabama, they got to play Citadel. Then they have to play an Auburn team that's just not very good at this point. Auburn loses again last week, and they got up to 24. They lost again to Georgia. Michigan is number 4, Notre Dame number 3. Clemson 2, Alabama 1. Notre Dame, they still got to play USC at the end of the year. Notre Dame is much better than USC, but you never know. That's one of those rivalry games where you throw everything out the window. Excuse me, it's Syracuse and Notre Dame this Saturday, which Syracuse could upset Notre Dame. And then Notre Dame against USC. But, of course, all these teams have title games to play. The one that doesn't is Notre Dame. Notre Dame is able to get into the college football playoffs without having that monster game at the end of the year, without playing in that SEC title game, without playing in that Big Ten title game like Michigan's going to have to do, not have to play in the ACC title game like Clemson. I mean, it's a dangerous proposition for these teams. And that's why a lot of teams, you know, look at Notre Dame and they say, hey, you want to get in the college football playoffs?
Playoffs.
Join a Power 5 conference. It's the only fair thing to do. Here's the teams outside looking in. Georgia at number 5. And Georgia's a sneaky team, too. And keep in mind, Georgia controls its own destiny. They'll get their shot at Alabama in the SEC title game in Atlanta, Georgia. Oklahoma, they're currently 6. And they got a hell of a scare from Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State last weekend. But again, rivalry game. You don't know what can happen, but the rest of the top 10 is the same. Ohio State is 10. West Virginia is 9. Washington State, the Pac-12's only hope at getting into the postseason. And then LSU, for some reason, is still 7th. LSU was put on Nick Saban's knee and spanked 29-0 in Death Valley in Baton Rouge. I actually thought, and I've seen pretty much every Alabama game this year, I thought that LSU might give them a little bit of a scare considering the game was in Baton Rouge. And then LSU beats a bad Arkansas team by just 7 points this weekend. A little bit surprised by that. Texas 15, Penn State 14, Florida 13. I have no idea why Florida's still getting up there. Missouri just absolutely destroyed them a couple weeks ago. Syracuse number 12. And UCF number 11, even though they keep winning. Even though they run the table last year, undefeated this year, so they still come in at number 11. It's why this college football playoff has got to expand. But every Tuesday night, they do the college football rankings, and so I enjoy them. Of course, there wasn't going to be any moving and shaking this week. And I will say this for Notre Dame. You know, they beat Michigan. So Notre Dame sits at number 3. They do have that win over Michigan. So number 3 has beaten 4. The only two teams in the top 4 that have played each other, and Notre Dame came out on top, but I can't wait for the college football playoffs. Coming up next, are the Chiefs finding their defensive identity? Because the Chiefs have actually done a few things that I'm really, really, for a guy that wasn't fond of this defense going into the season, maybe my mind is changing just a little bit. Plus, if you buy tickets to Mexico City, I do want to hear from you. 913-576-7610. Chiefs identity next.
Bing at night.